Welcome to the Multifamily Zone, where business meets family. We explore what the entrepreneur life looks like from the family perspective. Now, here are your hosts, Julia and Gino Barbaro.
Hey, everyone. This is Julia Barbaro, host of the Multifamily Zone podcast. I am here with Gino, my husband and co-host, Gino Barbaro.
Jewel?
Hey.
You like my shirt?
I do.
That's all I get?
It kind of reminds me of the Sam X of Burn Notice.
Burn Notice. Yeah. That's what the kid said this morning. Yes.
It's making me laugh all day. It's all good.
Yes.
It's keeping me smiling.
Everything okay? Everything else okay?
Everything's beautiful.
We've got a great couple on today. Jim and Francesca are from Westchester County, New York, where they live with their two beautiful children. Francesca has been a school teacher for 22 years. Jim has been working with the Westchester Teamsters in the heavy construction for 23 years. They've been investing in real estate since 2002. They both realized the power of real estate after purchasing their first home, rehabbing and leveraging it to acquire their first investment property. Jim and Francesca are currently partnered in 75 units and actively looking to acquire properties in the Southeast. Their goal is to educate and help others learn how they can create passive income through real estate investing. They enjoy spending time with family, traveling, the beach, which I like, and lending a helping hand. Welcome to the show, guys. How you doing?
Thank you.
Great. Thank you. Thanks for having us. Here.
Wow. So let's go back. How long have you guys been married? How long have you known each other? And
a long time.
Very long time. We started back in 94. We
started dating in 94. We got married in 99. So we've been together for a long time.
It's funny, you guys do sound like us because sometimes I don't know.
Goes quick, I tell you.
I'm like, wait, how many years?
It keeps changing every year. That's why it doesn't. Like, you know,
we
what
lost
I mean?
Count.
I don't know. Yeah, we could always say 20 plus years.
There we go.
20 That's plus it. Years.
But that since you say that, you know, we were on a call. I think a couple weeks ago. We're all making fun of it. Sounds painful and everything. You did say you guys are your best friends, correct?
Oh, yeah.
So just as a joke aside, it's been, you know, 20-something great years, hasn't it?
Sure
it has. Yeah, it's been a ride. Yes, absolutely.
So who's made it the better one of the 20-something years? Who's the better one? That's a tough question.
Yes.
We both made it.
You know, it's interesting being, and I like to talk to the two of you because we're very similar. We have similar relationships. We've been working together, but not working together. We, you know, some of our children are grown and we change so much from the beginning. And sometimes you think back and it's a little cringe. You kind of cringe on how you used to be compared to how you are now. And it's to the point where we almost have to reconnect when the kids get older and figure out who each other are. Oh, you know what I mean? Sometimes we forget.
We do.
So how has your relationship changed from years ago till now?
Well, I mean, now that the kids are older, you know, we have a little bit more time for ourselves. Mm. So we're able to go out for dinner, you know, on a date night. And I mean, even when the kids were younger, we would drop them off, you know, at mom's or my mother-in-law's and try to get out for a couple of hours. But now it seems like we're always.
It's a lot easier.
Yeah, it seems like we're always alone. Like I have my daughters off to college. My son is a senior in high school, so he's going to be off. Eventually, we're going to be empty nesting. So I don't know. Going out to dinner, we do like we connect in a sense. So yeah, I mean, we try to like make it date night. That's important. So important.
It's interesting. It's almost like we have to restart. It's almost like we have to figure out how to date again. You know, when we're younger, we're on a date, we're learning about each other, and we are so different than when we used to go out on dates. And then we had the kids, and the kids version when we're married, it's sometimes it's overwhelming and it's, you know, you kind of forget about each other at times, you know what I mean? Because you're so focused on certain other things. And now it's like, all right, now we're by ourselves. You're just like you said, you're going out a lot, you're with each other a lot. How important is it to talk to each other and actually learn what each other is like now? I can even ask that to my husband because I always like him to answer me.
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, you've actually helped us with that. I mean, the questioning that you've given us through, I mean, Web Our Profits didn't just give us a multifamily education. I mean, you guys have helped us within our own relationships, either with our spouse or with our family. And I appreciate that.
Tell us about that.
Yeah. So, I mean, you, Julia, you started a couples coaching, you and Gino. Mm-hmm. And so we come on once a month and you ask some deep questions through the Google forms that you send us. And those questions, I have to say, the last one you sent really hit home. And so I said, I don't even know this about my husband. Like some of the questions were like, what are your dreams? Mm-hmm. I don't think he ever, I mean, I think I tell him my dreams, but I never heard them from him. So when we went out to dinner that night and after I saw the form and I just took out the questions and I was asking him like all these questions. And then how do you feel about me? Like, I don't know. Do you feel the same as you did years ago? Like, what does that look like? Right. Yeah. And so those questions were empowering and actually helped me understand his point of view, a lot more. And, yeah. So
it was a great conversation starter too. You know, it just, it fulfilled our whole evening. And, it was good to get to know that part of each other that we really wouldn't speak about or even think about asking, you know, the questions that were asked. So it was great. Then she got a little teary eyed and she made me a little teary eyed. I'm like, what's going on?
What's happening?
It was good. It was great. It hit home. It really did.
My question is, what took you guys so long to ask those questions? Because we waited forever too. It's just something that I never asked my wife, hey, what are your dreams? I never did. And I just assumed stuff. So what took you so long to really come to that realization?
Yeah, I mean, I think that you just go through the motions in life. I just don't think that you take the time to look at your spouse and say, oh, hey, you know, like, you're here. Like, it's just like, it's like, they're always there. It's like, so you
the
don't
daily
like,
grind.
Yeah, you don't take the time to like, ask some questions. It's just, you go through the daily motions, like get up, go to work, you know, come home, make dinner. Like you don't think about one another and to stop and chat. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
This is important. I want to really reiterate what you just said, because it's important for all the couples out there listening. That's the golden nugget for the show right there. We take each other for granted. And that's what great spouses do, because I know when Jim is having a rough day, Francesca will lift him up and vice versa. And we do the same. And we take each other for granted because we're always there. But sometimes it becomes almost like rote. It becomes almost like robotic, right? But don't do that. You have the opportunity now when you get off the podcast to write down a couple of questions. Maybe Julia can share a couple of those questions. What are your dreams? What are your aspirations? Hey, honey, what are we looking to do in the next 5 years? You will really confuse your spouse. Next five, what do you, that is a great question. My favorite question to my wife was, how would financial freedom look like to you, Jewel? And she's like, well, I'm already financially free. I already know what that looks like, right?
The same joke.
But what I'm saying, hey, it's my favorite joke. But my point is, I didn't know what financial freedom looked like to her. I didn't know it to her, to me and to her was different. To me, it was, okay, I've got enough money in the bank. I can do whatever. To her, it was, okay, we can fly family down here. We can donate and we can do whatever our kids go to college. It's not a thing. So ask those empowering questions. Stop right now. This is what the show is all about. It's really about reconnecting with your spouse, having the spousal communication, enjoying each other. Jim, this question is for you. Maybe you may have the answer, man. What to you, is there a secret that you've had for the last 25 years plus that has really, you know, kept you engaged in your marriage and really made it work? Anything that you can point to?
I want to say like communication. I mean, we speak to each other all the time. You know, we're always on the same page. You know, she's always there. I mean, she supports me in whatever I want to do or my thoughts are, and, you know, vice versa. I mean, we kind of like just blended into one person organically, you know, after so many years of being together. And I mean, you know, just our relationship. I mean, I'm grateful that I have, you know, a great wife and, you know, a great family. And we just, like I said, we became one person. Like sometimes I'm thinking of something, she says the same thing I'm thinking of. It's like, how does that happen? And, you know, it happened more than once. It's ironic how you just become one person. Yeah. And I would say like communication, you always got to speak to her. You know, whether it's good or it's bad, you know, or ugly, you know, you got to communicate with her, you know, open, honest.
Honesty.
One of the sweetest stories I have to tell is you both did the worksheets and you had the same answer at the end.
Yeah.
And I thought, my gosh, they must be doing it together. And I had to ask, and you didn't. You had the same answer, both of you. And I thought, that is incredible. It's so beautiful. Yeah. So yes, I actually noticed that about you too.
Yeah.
So it's important to, and you know, so this podcast is really on, we've been married a while, you've been married a while. We kind of get used to each other. We kind of get comfortable with each other. And we have to be reminded that date night is great, but there has to be more to it. There has to be more input, like we're just talking about. And another thing that we could do is find a project together. And I know you guys both work separately, but you found something to do together, and that's real estate. So tell us about how you both came from working apart. You know, you're married, you know, you figure out how to do the home together, but now you're in a working together in a company of real estate.
I love that question. So for us,
it all started from our first home, really.
Yeah, for us, it did start from our first home. It's like every couple of years, like we feel like we have to reinvent ourselves and who we are. Mm-hmm. So, you know, when we were in our 20s, we bought our first home, we rehabbed it, we did it together. So that took up our time. And then we had our children. So that, you know, took up a lot of our time as well. And then once they grew up, it was like, okay, now what's
start
next?
Over again.
What's next? So we sold our house and we built a new home. So like, it was always something that we were always trying to either get better or keep, like keep active in a sense, right? Mm-hmm. Keep, stay creative. Mm-hmm. And then once we got into our new home, it was like, okay, now what's next? And, you know, we had a rental property, and it was just like, okay, you know, let's educate ourselves on something else that we can do for ourselves and create something for our children and create something for our retirement when it comes. So, so I think that's what we've been doing to,
stay
active and stay creative and get out of our comfort zone, in other words.
And so what was it, what was the reception you got from friends and family members that you said, hey, I'm getting into this real estate thing, multifamily? What was the feedback?
Sure you want to do it? Do you know what you're doing?
Yeah.
Be careful, you know, all the limited beliefs, you know, all the gremlins come out and the scarcity. But, you know, you stick through it. Like I said, communication. You know,
well, and even being here from New York, I have to say, like, my parents had multifamily, my in-laws did, and it was just, it's a different mindset here, right? It's like, oh, the landlord's never right, you know, so you had these gremlins in your head, like, oh my gosh, can I get into multifamily? Mm-hmm. But that's where we educated ourselves and realized, you know, there's landlord-friendly states, there's other places you can go to invest, it doesn't have to be in your backyard.
Mm-hmm.
So,
I'm not going to make this a real estate podcast because I always usually push it into the business realm, but there's a couple of things that you guys did that were, I think, really commendable. You actually went to an event during COVID. I mean, you drove down, you went on a bus tour, you got getting out of your comfort zone. I mean, so it's not just education, it's massive action and surrounding yourself, the proximity with other people who are doing what you want to do. You can't discount that. Most people say, you know what? I can't do it. It's too risky. They don't even try. They don't even go on a bus tour. Let's say they don't have an accountability group. They don't find other people that can hold them accountable. All of these pieces, I think, have led to your success and to your growth and getting out of your comfort zone and saying, you know what, they're doing it this way, but it's okay. I can do it my way. And it's something that's not going to happen overnight. You guys have a longer term horizon. I mean, being married for so many years, you know, that, you know, it takes a long time to build something. So that's commendable. So everyone listening to this, don't think you just wake up one day and go, hey, I want to do something. It takes time. It takes a lot of time to do that.
Well, that's the question, is how important is it to be in a community with what you're doing together? This, in this situation, is real estate. So how important is it, and how has that helped you to be in the community in this particular case of Jake and Gino?
I mean, it keeps you motivated. Yeah. You're with the like-minded people, and you know, that's all you talk about, whether it's meetups, it's the community, it's mm-hmm. it's a podcast. I mean, once you have that instilled in your head and you know mm-hmm. you stay focused on a path and that's what you want to do, you know, you don't listen to the negativity and you know all the you know, the bad discussions that people want to have with you about it, you know. You mm-hmm. just...
Well, I even think like even last year being part of this community during COVID, mm-hmm. Seeing the posts, like we put our horse blinders on. We were just like all multifamily. Mm-hmm. We didn't want to hear any of the noise that was yeah. going on around us.
Right.
We were staying focused, and you know, you guys kept it going as far as, I mean, we had so much fun. We had yeah. trivia night mm-hmm. When we were on lockdown. Yeah. I mean, we had Thursday and Friday night trivia night. We all got together.
There was always something going on.
We yeah. met so many right. people during those Zoom calls during trivia yes. night, and so much fun. Like we were on teams. Mm-hmm. I think I was on Team G Daddy. I mean, like it was so much fun. So like being a part of a community that is doing exactly what you want to do, right? What do they say? Surround yourself with people that are doing mm-hmm. what you want to do. Mm-hmm. It's just taken us to a different level. So even for example, my accountability pod, mm-hmm. I mean, I have some great accountability partners. I have Tim Lyons. I have Joe Sullivan. I have Yosef, and I have Mac. I mean, Mac keeps the glue together. He makes sure we're on every 2 weeks. Mm-hmm. I mean, every single one of them, I call them like my real estate brothers, mm-hmm. right? I get on and they make sure they're holding me accountable and they make sure that I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing to get to that next step. Mm-hmm. And that's what it means to be part of a community, is to keep each other accountable, learn from one another, and just, I mean, surround yourself with those people that are doing it. It's amazing. It really, really is. Mm-hmm. And I thank you for 2020, because it would have been a different.
Made us get through it.
It would have been a different outlook, probably. It just helped mm-hmm. us get through it. It really, really did.
Francesca and Jim, you guys both use the word gremlins. Can you explain to the listeners? Because mm-hmm. that's a word that we use in IPEC and coaching. And it's really, my wife doesn't like me using it. It's really, it's
anymore.
An energy.
I got
it's
used
really,
to it.
So explain to them, explain anymore. To the listeners what it is and how you're combating it, how you're overcoming it. Cause every day they pop up, mm-hmm. right? Mm-hmm. They're always there beside you, behind you. And during COVID, especially when you're isolated. Mm-hmm. So
right.
could you let them know what it is?
Yeah. So it's like when your mind is telling you that you can't do it. If there's something that you want to do, you want to achieve, and you're focusing on how to do it, something always pops up in your brain and says, I can't do that. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. I don't know how to do it. Mm-hmm. But that once you break that mindset and you constantly stay focused on what you want to do, you break through it, you know, and it's like, the gremlins are in the past. Like you don't believe that stuff no more. And it always pops up. Like you said, it does pop up again, and you're like, you know what? I don't believe that. I can do it. I'm smarter than that. You know, I've learned a lot. I know these people, you know, it gets you through it.
It's getting out of your comfort zone. I mean, a lot of times when we get out of a comfort zone, I mean, coming on this podcast, we're getting out of our comfort zone, right? Mm-hmm. So it's like, yeah, you really could say, I can do it. Mm-hmm. Why can't I do it? Other people can do it. I can do it too. Mm-hmm. Right? What makes me different? Mm-hmm. So
I'm going to pull us back into the out of the real estate and into the personal. Now my wife's going to be happy about this. How do you guys help each other with gremlins? Because I can give you an example of how my wife helps me moving down to Florida and leaving my comfort zone of being the pizza guy. That was my identity. And when I left, I had a lot of gremlins. Am I good enough to do this business? Am I good enough to have a podcast? Am I good enough to write a book? And she was with me all the way, and she actually supported me. And she says, whatever happens, it'll be okay. If we can't make it in Florida, we can always pack up and mm-hmm. we can leave. And that just gave me even more motivation to do it, because I didn't want to let her down. So how do you guys help each other out through those gremlins, those darker moments when we're talking to ourselves and saying we're not good enough?
Mm-hmm. So for instance, I mean, we just spoke about it too, going down to the Money Mixer and down in Knoxville. It's like you couldn't get on a plane. It was forbidden to get on a plane, you know, mm-hmm. during a height of COVID. And it's like, what are we going to do? We wanted to go, you know, we staying focused on it. So she was like, we can't fly. I said, okay, I'm driving. Mm-hmm. We're driving. We're going, you know, and whatever we have to do and to make it work, we're going to make it happen. So we did that. We toured the market. We made a lot happen in a couple of days. Yeah. Less than a week. We just got out of our comfort zone and, you know, just speaking through it, you know, just.
Yeah. So sometimes you just like have to put fear aside. Yeah. Right. Mm-hmm. And you have to just put your horse blinders on and do what you have to do. Mm-hmm. You know, that's just, it's what's right. What's right for you, right? May not be right for others, but you have to do it. You just got to do what you got to do.
I love that. It's funny because sometimes when one of us is afraid of something, the other one steps in. Right. Isn't that how it's kind of like the good, bad parent type of thing. It happens with each other. When one of us is scared of something, the other one sees it and thinks of an alternative way to make it work. Like Jim, you thought of something different that maybe, you know, Francesca wasn't even thinking about driving. And I think that's important in a relationship, is to just take a step back and think there has to be another way. Mm-hmm. Let's think about it together. If, you know, one of us is a little bit overwhelmed, think about it on your own and come up with something and talk about it later. That communication really makes a difference.
I love that. And I just wrote the word parenting down because you guys have two kids. The kids are older. How has your parenting evolved from they were little kids to where they are now? Wow. That might be a tough question because it's like a long time. And I can tell you, like when I first had my children, I'll give you a quick example. The first child, I mean, I had to have true discipline. I'd be like, you know, the Italian thing. And then after like a year or two, I'm like, hold on a second. And, you know, it's a constant evolution. And even my daughter's listening to this. I yelled at her a few months back and I don't know why. And then people, my wife says to me, do you speak to your employees like that? So we're constantly trying to get better at being parents and we're constantly evolving as parents. How has that evolution been for you two?
I would say I'm the more strict one. I don't know. I stay on top of them because growing up, I mean, you know, I know what I've done, you know, where I've been. Thank God that, you know, they're on the right path. They, you know, two smart, beautiful kids. And I kind of push them a little too much sometimes. Mm-hmm. My father-in-law used to say I'm military, you know. So, but I mean, over the years, I mean, my wife would say, you know, chill out, relax, think, you know, choose your battles. Mm-hmm. And, you know, it would sink in, you know. So after a while, I mean, sometimes I still am a little strict, but.
But what I think is, though, you know, he has pulled away because now they are getting older. Mm-hmm. So because they're getting older, they need to make up. They have to make their own decisions. Mm-hmm. Right. So now they need to choose. I mean, we're there to guide them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. They need to choose, like, what career path do they want to take? Right. What do they want to study in college? So, like, they need to research this themselves. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, even though he said he was strict and all that, but we never let them not decide on their own what path it is that they want to take. Like, what are your passions? What do you love to do? Figure that out and then let's go after it. Mm-hmm. So those are the things. Like for example, my daughter, she's in college now and she says, you know, I love math. Mm-hmm. Okay, Julia. So now figure out what sort of careers are out there that include math. Mm-hmm. And so her first semester of college, which was this year, she says she takes accounting. She took accounting class and she said, you know what, Mom? I really don't like accounting. So I said, well, I'm glad you figured that out now.
Yes.
And it's until you got further into your college career. And so she said, I did find that problem solving, I love to problem solve. And I did find that engineering holds you have to problem solve and math is included. Yes. So I said, yes. And she said, I applied to the engineering school. And I said, amazing. I said, did you get in? And she said, I did. And so we leave this all up to them. This is up to them. This is their future. Mm-hmm. I will help guide you, but this is up to you. And she took the initiative. I applied to the engineering school. So right there, I feel like as parents, we did a great job that her thought process is, okay, what can I do next? I don't like this, so I'm going to try this. And I'm going to make it happen. And she did. She applied. She got in. And this is her second semester, and she loves it.
I love that you asked her questions and let her answer, because that's the key. That's what I've noticed is the key for guiding an older teen or an older, you know, older adult child, is that we don't make the decisions for them. We ask them a question and we let them answer. So I give you that compliment there.
And Jim, what happened? I was a tough guy too. I mean, I am like the weakling right now. You want some? Sure, go ahead. She's gonna be the tough one. Sometimes, every now and again, I'll go a little nuts. But it's weird how I've like metamorphosized it from this tough person into this like.
Well, I think fear. I think you probably both of you could agree is that when you have the little children, you're so afraid they're gonna grow up spoiled and bratty, and you know what I mean. So you're afraid. So we do react a different way when they're little.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know what I mean. So I give you a pass on that.
Do you?
I do. It makes that's why when I say before we were so different when we first got married till now, because we were, and that's we have to relearn each other. I have to know who you are now, and we forget to just ask questions, like I was just saying, to each other. You know, so if everyone out there has been married for a while, we have to start reconnecting with each other by asking a question, allowing that person to answer the question and hear them out. We might not agree with that, but it's really important that we hear them out.
Francesca, did you learn this from your parents, or was that your own parenting style? Did you guys have your own parenting style? Because I was sort of adopting what my mom and my dad did. And then after a year or two, I'm like, this doesn't feel right. I've got to go down my own path.
You know what? I think it's my own parenting style. I mean, when I went to college, I took psychology and I took, you know, I'm a teacher. So it's like, I see children and I see their abilities, right? Mm-hmm. They're not cookie cutter kids. Everyone has their own abilities. It's a matter of finding what your ability is. What are you able to do? What are you good at? So, I mean, I see it in the classroom. I could see every kid and I could see different abilities in them. Mm-hmm. And so it was a matter of, I think it was a combination of my background in education. I didn't want to be that fixed mindset. My parents had a fixed mindset. Mm-hmm. I didn't want to be that fixed mindset. I wanted to have a growth mindset and help my kids establish that as well. So I think I grew within that type of mindset to help my kids choose.
You guys honestly have grown so much in the last couple of years, haven't you? All the work, I mean, like the growth mindset. I didn't know what a fixed mindset was until I read the book like 2 years ago. So it is amazing though, isn't it? Speak to that a little bit, because I mean, you've grown so much. You personal development is like the last couple of years. What would you say if you yourself 5 years ago, Jim, personal development, would you say like, even me when I was at the restaurant, I don't need that, right? Mm-hmm. But what has personal development done for you in the last 5 years? Because you're using coaching words, empowering questions. Mm-hmm. You're talking about fixed mindset versus growth mindset. Talk a little bit about the personal development and how that's made your life more, it's more enriching, isn't it?
Right, sure it is. I mean, just the books alone. I mean, the books we've read, the mindset. I mean, that was a total transition for us too. You know, finding the fixed mindset opposed to the growth mindset. Mm-hmm. And just seeing like how I was growing up, you know, it was always, you had to work, you had to secure your future, get a pension, you know, from your job and stuff like that. So that's our blinders are on. That's all we knew how to do. But there's more to life than just that. You know, there's
different ways to create income and create money. And I think like, you know, all the books that you suggest to read, I mean, each one builds upon your different mindset. So, you know, that fixed mindset book, as a teacher, it helped me as well. Like I'm looking at kids and as a parent, like you can put, if you put your mind to it, and I'm teaching my kids this in school now, because if you put your mind to it, you can do it. Mm-hmm. And so since we're on Zoom at school a lot, we have Wellness Wednesdays, and I'm trying to help them during Wellness Wednesdays. Let's find something special about you. Who are you? Right. And so hard for kids to talk about themselves. Yeah. Mm-hmm. They can talk about someone else, but it's so hard for them to talk about themselves. So I'm like, this is all about the growth mindset, learning to speak about who you are. Right. Mm-hmm. And what you can accomplish and do. So it's so important. They're like, well, how do I do that? I'm like, well, you're smart. Mm-hmm. Right. You are capable. You're successful. You can do anything you put your mind to. So, I mean, your books and whatever you have given us to read and told us to read are just they're life changing. Sure. They really are.
You can add those to the show notes.
Yeah, I'm gonna add a couple of books. So I know the mindset book is really important, everybody. We did a podcast on the Wheel of Our Profits with a gentleman named Eduardo Brisenis. He was one of the first case studies for Carol Dweck in her book Mindset. So you should listen to that podcast. He really dives into mindset. And what I love most about the growth mindset is when you have a growth mindset, you're able to grow because you're saying to yourself, I'm not just smart, I'm working hard. That's right. The thing. A person with a fixed mindset, they're afraid of failure because when they're growing up, everyone says that they're smart, they're unique. And then when they come into a certain obstacle or a certain difficulty, they say to themselves, well, you know what? I don't really want it because they're afraid to fail. And as educators and as parents, we're there to say, if you want to be number one, you can, but there's a lot of work involved. We're all That's smart, right. but you need to put the work in and you need to continue to grow. You need to be able to be responsible as a growth mindset person. And I'll give you a quick example, Jewel, real quick. Mm-hmm. John McEnroe was fixed mindset. He was an amazing talent, right? But it was always somebody else's fault, right? Mm-hmm. He could have won 30 Grand Slams. He was amazing, but it was either the wind, the noise, the racket, the referee, he was sick. There was always an excuse. Whereas Michael Jordan, 6 championships, he never made an excuse. He had the flu. He made that shot against Utah. I mean, like, he was always growing. He actually, when he came back from baseball, he went and tried baseball on his first stint. He was an average baseball player, but the fact that he was the best basketball player left and took a chance to look normal and then come back and win 3 more championships as he got older and learned how to play a different part of the game, that's the growth mindset. That's what we want to teach our kids. We're all unique. We're all smart, but that doesn't bring us anywhere. If we have that fixed mindset, we're not able to get out of our comfort zone and to grow. That's what's going to really hold us back. And that's what's going to lead us to a more fulfilling life.
Yeah, and I think that growth mindset has to be in relationships as well. And sometimes we forget that part, right? Mm-hmm. So we get married, everything's great. And then all of a sudden it's like, what? This is not how I thought it was going to be. You know what I mean? And the years go on and you're like, wait, I have to work at it. I didn't know, you know? So sure. It's one of those things where it's like, okay, if I want a good marriage, what do I have to do?
That's right.
We have to work at it, right? So we have to take steps. We have to ask questions. We got to actually get up and do something about
That's
it.
That's right.
You know, a lot of people like, oh, you're lucky, you have a good marriage. No. we're not lucky. We work at it. You know what I mean? And I know the two of you do too. It gets easier as the time goes on and you figure it out, but it does take effort. Sometimes you don't want to, you know, get over something silly that bothered you. It's a decision to do it, and you move forward in your relationship constantly. Every day, every opportunity that you're in talking with each other is we can grow together. And that's what I want people to know, is it's not too late. If you have an okay relationship today, just try to work at it. Do something that you haven't done before. Ask a question you've never asked before. Maybe we'll leave a list in the show notes of questions you can ask your spouse. That would be fun.
That would be fun.
I like that one.
Yeah.
Challenge him.
Yeah. That's no, fine. Tell us about how you work at your relationship. How do you have that growth mindset in your relationship every day?
Supporting each other. I mean, like I said before, like, you know, her dreams, whatever, my dreams, you know, talking about how we could get to that point, or, you know.
Mm-hmm. That five-year question is amazing. Like, what do you want your life to look like in 5 years? And you know, even before we join the program, Gino gives you questions to help you think, what where do you want to be? Where do you see yourself? Like, what, you know, what's your reason for this? What, and just asking those questions too helped us grow with that growth mindset. Now we're on the same page.
Yes.
So having that growth mindset puts you on the same page, right? For your future, or, you know. Yeah.
I'm going to put you guys on the spot right now. My last question is, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Or what do you want to, I don't want to say what do you want to accomplish, but what are you really striving to achieve in the next 5 years?
I know what I want. Go ahead. Well, you know, I have a vision. I have a vision in the next 5 years. I would love to be, financially free. I'd love to be financially free. I'd love to possibly be living in a warmer climate somewhere, whether it's Florida or somewhere beautiful and warm. Mm-hmm. I'm 5 years. I love to see where my kids, that they're successful and that they should be done with college at that point. Mm-hmm. But I see us together.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I hope so.
Financially free with a, hopefully living in Florida.
The financially free question is always interesting. A lot of people say that, but they don't have specifics. You did say living in Florida, but what else? The both of you.
Well, financially free to me is it's not a dollar sign. It's not about money. It's just like exchanging your time for to do what you want when you want, right? Yes. So it's more how do I say it?
Yeah. So I mean, it's financially free is like not always exchanging your time for money, right? Right. It's just like being able to do what you want when you want,
right.
And being able to help others if you had to, you know, and helping our family, our friends, our children. So,
Jim, she finished it for you. So she knew what you were going
to
say.
That's what I wanted to say.
And she just pulled it out of you. That
was it out. Yeah.
That's right.
Getting my vibe.
One of the things I love about the two of you is you compliment each other. And I do love that because you do finish each other's sentences. And I see that a lot.
Well, he looked at you. He's like, well, you know, I can't really. As well as you, so you go ahead and you take
it. Sucks it out of me. Sure does.
I do. That means that you're connected, and that's really one of our goals as spouses is to be connected, and to because then you're actually listening, and that's what that showed is that you're listening to your husband talk. Mm-hmm. You weren't thinking about what you were going to say. You just were hearing what he. You know what I mean? So that's what when I say connect with each other, that's what I'm talking about is actually being present in what the person is saying, hearing them out. And helping them if they can't finish the sentence. And I love that the both, I love it. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And I think to finish the financial freedom, it's also not really chasing money as much. You're chasing opportunity. You're able to say, okay, I can take today off, but tomorrow I'm going to go do a couple of property tours, or I'm going to buy stocks or whatever that may be. Right. You're not just focused on that paycheck, right? You obviously need to get paid, but you can take a day or two off and invest in yourself, do a few more hours of trainings and not worry about that paycheck, not be on the clock. That's what I think the growth and the personal development leads people to believe, because people who don't have money, we're always focusing on the money. That's the reality. When you're financially free, and I started building the businesses, I wasn't worried so much about the paycheck every day. Mm-hmm. I was worried about building and chasing that opportunity and seeking to serve, not giving to get. That's, I think, part of what financial freedom looks like to you and to us.
It's really
the ability, honestly, to help others, but there's so much opportunity out there. And when you're financially free, you can chase more of that opportunity.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. You got time for it.
Yeah.
I have a big challenge for all of us, and that's including us and Jim, Jim and Francesca, all the listeners. We're all in some kind of relationship, whether we're married or we have family at home, we have sisters, brothers, mothers, and all that. I just want you to find someone and learn something new about them by asking them a question. Some of us grow up never being challenged, never being asked, tell me about that. I want to know what you think about this. Or, you know, like I said, we'll leave some questions on the bottom, because some of us don't, like Francesca, you were saying how you ask your students things and they don't know how to answer them. We were never taught how to answer certain questions. When we first got into life coaching, answering these questions were torturous. Like I don't know. Every answer that I would have was like, I don't know. I don't know what I think about this. I don't know what I feel about this. And because we were never taught. And so it's important to ask little by little, ask a question, follow up with another question, just like you did with your daughter. So everyone out there, that's your big challenge, to learn something new about the people in your life.
I love that.
How can the listeners get a hold of you guys?
So they can get a hold of us. We're on Facebook, Francesca and Jim Apostolou. They could also get a hold of us through email. It's james@NivauPropertiesCom.
Can you spell that?
NivauPropertiesCom. And I'm on LinkedIn, Francesca Apostolou on LinkedIn.
Perfect. Recap, Joel.
Go for it.
So Jim and Francesca met in 1994. 5 years. It took 5 years to get married.
5 years.
That's because you didn't know me. That's why.
Why did it take so long? But 5 years, but you got married, right? And okay. What is it, 23 years later, still married, rocking, personal development, two kids, making it happen, enjoying Jake and Gino, getting a lot of pushback from family members going, this multifamily thing, you guys are crazy. Mm-hmm. You're going down to Tennessee during COVID. What are you guys, nuts? Mm-hmm. Out of your comfort zone, getting into a property, continuing to grow, and the work that you put into it, because Francesca shows up. Life is all about showing up. Half of it is 80% showing up, and the other is doing the work. You need to show up, and then obviously you need to apply yourself. So it's education, time, action. So you guys are both exemplifying that. And then it also translates into your personal relationship. There's a lot of work involved in that as well. So working on that constantly and being there for each other has also made you both successful in your personal life as well.
Love that. Mm-hmm. Yeah, no, you two are a beautiful couple. You're a great example for all of us that want to just have a beautiful marriage. So thank you for that.
Thank you guys.
We definitely need that in the world. So that's a big deal. Beautiful family. And just keep doing it. Keep doing what you're doing. It's incredible. Keep working at it. So thank you.
Definitely. Thanks, guys.
Have a great one.
Thanks. You too.